Maybe we have two lives. One when asleep and one when awake.
I lost myself in moonlight last night. How fantastic. Magic, druids, discussing nature and scholastics. Behold a night out kind in his smile. His clothes are great and leaves. You know the druid style. He asked me, do you know about the Emerald Dream? Talking about my eyes, sir, your flattery supreme. Yes, they gleam, but that's not what I meant. The dream's a place where all world's nature's content.
Good morning, people.
Good morning. It's Thursday.
Thank God. One more day.
I know, right? And we actually started the show today without talking.
Just barely.
Just barely. True story. I think we were both trying to like see how long we could go just right up to that second and then stop talking.
Oh, okay. Yes, yesterday was crazy. I got emails from some of you angry about your prize yesterday. What you can do is pop over to the Comcast/Xfinity site and yell at them. They kept me away from you.
Yes, those people, we were ready to cut those people. Time Warner, all of you guys over there.
You know what? Seriously, today I'm selling my stock in Time Warner. I'm not even joking. That's it, Time Warner. It's over. It's over. It's over between us.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, I'm not even joking when I say I've had to file a BBB report because, no, I could not get them to fix my stuff until I did. It was just ridiculous. It's amazing. When she filed one of those reports, oh, they were all over trying to get it fixed. It was awesome. It was the best customer service I've ever had from them. And just picked me up and used that far. I do that.
If anybody else had internet service in Houston, I'd be with them. I'm begging you, Verizon, please bring fiber optics here for, you know, regular folks, please.
They're the only people that can reach me with cable internet right now.
Time Warner?
Mm-hmm.
Same here. I mean, we have clear internet in Houston, but clear is, yeah. Yeah, they're still new. Mm-hmm. I need to give them a little while. As you all know, my cousin and I talk about all the time, Silk Dress. That's her gamer tag. Go ahead and hit her up. She's going to cut me. she had clear, and she's like, it's great. You know, the on-the-go thing is great that she can pop it in and sit down anytime, but yeah, certain areas is kind of weird. You know, the tower is not bouncing right, and I tend to do a lot more, you know, stuff than she does that's internet intense. And no, I'm not stealing stuff, just we do a lot of stuff, so.
Gaming, mainly.
Yeah.
At least for me.
Yeah, her gaming is usually limited to her handheld.
If I lag and get killed, oh, I'm hot.
Oh, that's a no-no.
That'll have me on the phone real quick screaming at you.
That is a no-no. Cannot lag for the connect. Mm-mm. So how are you people out there in Gamerland?
Well, I am fine. I don't know about everybody else.
This is Lunch with Ginger and Corey. I'm Corey.
And I am Ginger.
And I hope we're not lagging because I'm watching the connection. I'm already getting irritated. Comcast, don't make me call you again today. Really?
We will cut you.
Don't make me angry.
You.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
She gets all big and green and mean. And
don't you wish? I do. I wish.
Going mad. Corey smash.
Corey smash. You're very, very happy.
And you know somebody out there just spit tea or something, Coke, water, all over their desk.
Yeah, somebody's laughing because Corey does smash. Corey smash. Bam.
Did I tell you not to walk in front of the TV?
Ooh, I got an email from this chick named Ginger. I'm special. Y'all wish y'all were special like me. Okay, we need to do some news because I'm trying not to be irritated, but I'm watching you, Comcast, Xfinity, Time Warner, whatever you're calling yourself this week.
Well, I would say I'm trying not to be irritated, but there's this news story in front of me. Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
You know, we're in this huge money crisis within the U.S., and we've got FBI raiding college students' apartments over WoW Gold farming. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is coming from GamePolitics.com this morning. Looks like they pulled it from Computer World. The FBI has raided the apartment of two University of Michigan students to investigate what has been called potentially fraudulent sales or purchases of virtual currency that people use to advance in the popular online role-playing game World of Warcraft. Yes, we are raiding college students' rooms over World of Warcraft now. Big, serious business. All right, so the story is coming from Computer World, they say. The FBI thinks the two students are terrorists who are doing something in the World of Warcraft to further some sort of terrorist plot.
They could just be earning money for college because it's easy to do.
Yeah. It's hard to say what exactly they suspect these students of doing within Blizzard's virtual world, but they obviously aren't going on a hunch here. The two students, a sophomore and a junior, shared a University Towers apartment in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and were raided by the FBI and had several items confiscated for further investigation, including laptops, hard drives, unnamed video game systems, credit cards, a cell phone, undetermined paperwork, and other computer equipment. In other words, they just took all their gaming systems, their credit cards, and their homework.
Oh. And while in high school that may be fun, in college, that is, mom and dad are going to cut us because I'm paying for this.
The unnamed college sophomore told AnnArbor.com, they, the FBI, thought we were involved in some kind of fraud. I'm pretty sure they have the wrong people, but they took all my stuff. The student goes on to say neither of them play World of Warcraft and that the FBI has targeted the wrong people. Could it be the FBI raided the wrong apartment? Ugh. Investigators don't think so. They say that at least one person at the address they raided was involved in a scheme to set up fraudulent bank accounts to buy and or sell virtual currency or gold to be used in the game. Federal courts show records that the FBI is investigating gold farming and its apparent connection to terrorism. In this case, agents were looking for online transaction records associated with WoW and a number of other websites, such as the Chinese gold farming website GameUSD.com, eBay, PayPal, and United Services Automobile Association. Oh, my God. Really? Terrorism in World of Warcraft? I know. All right. I know it's got to be out there that they're even worried about this. They're even looking at this. But seriously, World of Warcraft? I'm getting from there is people who walk up to me, can I have a gold? Can I have 10 gold? How about 20 gold? Can I have gold? Can I have your gold? Shut up, gold beggars.
I wonder how much gold I could get doing that. Just walk around, ask a buddy, can I have one?
Used to, back before they changed everything, there was an NPC up near, well, inside Orgrimmar, because, you know, Horde for life, not going Alliance, people, sorry.
Ooh.
Little fairy.
Okay, but, that's a t-shirt, Horde for life.
But there was an NPC from the Cenarian Circle, and I could target him being a hunter, and I would actually make him attack the person in my group. So I would friend these people and get them in my group, whatnot, and then I'd walk over there and shoot this guy, and they would attack the. And they're usually like level 1, level 2s. Anyways, but this NPC is like a level 30, so he would one-shot him. Oh, it was great. It was hilarious.
That's hot.
Yes.
I love it.
I would sit there and laugh because they would kill it and they would run towards me and I'd just feign death and it'd go reset. And they'd be like, you killed me. Yes, I did. Stop begging for gold.
See, they take all the fun out of our games when they don't allow us to strike back.
No, and that was the only way you could do it too. And now they've actually set it up so the guy won't attack anymore. He's not even right there anymore. He's been moved.
And boo.
I know. It's like, aww.
Oh, gosh.
I didn't even do it just to gold sellers. I did it to friends, too, that were in a group with me.
Now, I got some juicy news. I'm not sure where to start. I guess I'll start with this one because this is actually something I have been talking about, and I just want to be able to say, ha-ha, I was right.
So
this comes to also from our friends at Game Politics, to us. I don't know how I ran that all together. Analysts speculate on a Wii price cut that's coming. Why? Because we too may be at E3. Did I not say it? Ha ha.
Yeah.
So they're saying it's a big fat if predicated on the theory that a recent Engadget rumor, Engadget is also one of our homies, lovely friends over there, that there'll be about a 25% Wii price cut bringing it down to $150 in May. If true, analysts are saying the price cut could mean that an even bigger announcement will come from Nintendo, a new game console system. Come on, people. While CNVG is calling it the Wii 2, the at this point imaginary new console from Nintendo could be a game changer. Nintendo doesn't ascribe to long-haul 10-year life cycle that Sony and Microsoft have adopted, so I guess anything is possible, but the industry gamers piece is more of a what if than a root than rooted in any kind of reality. Speculation, of course, comes out of industry gamer story quoting M2 research analyst Billy Pigeon, who's a and also EEDAR analyst Jesse DeVinch and Wedbush analyst Michael Patcher. Remember, we were telling you about this yesterday, as a matter of fact. Naturally, all these comments are speculation based on an unconfirmed rumor, but it does make for interesting reading. You can read this entire story over at Industry Gamers or pop over to Game Politics. They have one up as well. And everybody's saying it looks like, yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen, Nintendo. Also, here's something else that's interesting that the guys are saying, or Patcher's saying, is that there's no way that anyone outside of Nintendo Japan would know about this until print ads have been submitted for retailers, which means if they are doing something, we won't know anything. You think you got juice, but, you know. And they said probably at most 3 weeks prior to a price cut. So as soon as we know something, we'll let you know. They're saying they're looking at the price cut, not even May. They said most likely it's going to be in September after, if they're going to announce a new console at E3 is when they'll probably cut it. I love the fact that Nintendo, I'm hoping they're doing this. And the reason being is, I tell you guys all the time, Nintendo set the bar, and the rest of the people are just catching up. As much as they complain and talk about Nintendo, it took them 6 years to catch up with the motion gaming. Nintendo says, ah, that is so 2006. Let us show you what we're doing now. Bam!
That is hot.
It is hot.
That is awesome.
I love me some innovation.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see what they do, because you know it's going to be so far beyond anything the Xbox or the PS3 has.
Yes. Delicious, delicious.
The games will still be aimed at, you know, 5-year-olds, but...
Well, what will also be good, that I love Nintendo, everything they promise, they deliver. When they said their stuff is backwards compatible, I have yet to pop in a GameCube game or any games that I have from way back forever that don't play in the Wii. I have had that happen with the PlayStation. I've had it happen with my Xbox. They're not.
My NES games don't play in it. But.
Well, they have a. I think those are actually downloadable from their store at a. Yeah.
Yes, they are. So you can just being silly.
Yeah, but I'm saying you still play them. We can't. I'm still mad about Gladius. I can never finish Gladius unless I go download the original Xbox mod, and I don't want to have to do that. I want to be able to play it in my Xbox. They promised me backwards compatibility, and it did not say backwards compatibility, except if it's these games. So my Halos are all backwards compatible, but none of these games over here that I actually do want to play. Anyway, I'm done grabbing for the morning. Ginger?
She's done griping for the morning.
For the morning. Oh. We do have an evening show, though. I can just full on let them have it.
All right. Well, we've been talking about Geohots. He's been taking, you know, a lot of the brunt from Sony, but he looks like he's not the only one that's gonna about to get it from Sony. No, no. And I'm pulling the story from GamePolitics.com. Looks like they pulled it from PSX Scene. A mere 48 hours after George Hotz, Geohots as we know him, and Sony Computer Entertainment America, Sony, settled their legal dispute, Sony has put its focus back on PS3 hacker Groff Chocolo. According to a report on PS3 hacking site PSX Scene, Sony has visited the home of Groff Chocolo for a second time. According to that report, which is based on a post from the man himself, Sony seized a bunch of computer equipment this time around. Here's what he said on his official website. Sony was at my home today, again, with a new TRO against me. They took my whole equipment. They took my whole equipment again, and told me to stop other OS projects, or else, guys. They definitely do not want other OS back on PS3. They want me to take down all my other OS and PS3 utilities. Make sure to clone all of my GIT repositories. I don't think you want me to stop, guys. Do you? Tell me what you think. Sony has neither confirmed or denied the report as true. but it would seem pretty silly for a guy that is mucking around with removed other OS functions from the of the PS3 to lie about it. We will have more on this as the story develops, they say. I'm thinking they probably did. They prepared Geohots, they neutered him, and now it's time for Chocolo to have his huevos removed. Yes. Sony, would you like to borrow my goat neutering tool? I got them.
You know, you're just all kinds of wrong.
All kinds of wrong, and every guy that's listening just went, oh.
And we love you for it.
Ah, yeah, so Sony, I don't know what to think, Sony. This is just... All right, so what's Anonymous have to say on this? That's what I want to know.
Well, and interestingly enough, they're threatening to continue fighting.
Don't cut me off from my games, Anonymous. I don't care what else you do. Just don't cut me off from my games.
Well, this is also game politics. I just saw this. Yay! That said, while the fight between Sony and George Hotz is definitely over, Collective, faceless hacking group Anonymous says that it will not relent in its very public assault on the company for its treatment of consumers who want to share information and explore the depths of the PS3's technological capabilities. You haven't actually attacked them. You've attacked us. I just want to point that out to you, Anonymous. Get it straight. The group released a new video yesterday on YouTube saying that it plans to fight on against Sony and Sony Online, rather, and will protest Sony style stores. will protest Sony style stores around the world on April the 16th. You can, of course, watch the video. We won't be adding it to our channel because I'm just like, whatever. Sorry, Anonymous. I can't support you on this because you've actually hindered gamers. You've not done anything to make me be in awe of you or say, go, Anonymous, go. They're saying, obviously, Anonymous doesn't have the kind of massive support it had when it decided to protest Scientology around the world. But protests, even small ones, are not good PR if they're done right and offer the right messaging. I don't think they're offering the right messaging. Sorry, guys. I just don't.
No, you alienated a lot of people.
Yeah.
All right, stay on TV. I got to tone it down. You ticked off a lot of people when you took away our games, even for just a couple of hours, just for a day. That's not cool, dude.
Well, see, and even the comments that I'm reading, a lot of people are not liking them at all. They've lost you.
And the whole Anonymous thing, that's getting old for a lot of people. We want to know who we're backing.
I could be fine with not knowing who I'm backing if they were doing something actually good. Geohots, unfortunately, was wrong. It's in your little box when you buy your game that they don't want you to do this. And he did it. He paid the price. And it's over. Right now, it's sour grapes for them to continue, in my opinion, to continue to go after Sony. It's, you know, it's over. If, yeah. Anyway, medication is out there, people, if you need it. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If you need it, it's there. If you need us to help you, we'll be glad to help you. I got a special concoction I can cook up in a pot. Ginger, I'm not telling you what's in it. Yeah, I'm not telling you what's in it. I don't know why you're waiting. You know I can't release it on the air. That's secret.
Come on. You know you want to tell me.
That's secret. Can't do it.
All right, well, I guess it is my turn. I didn't even think about it. I was like, it's my turn? Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. All right, Magic Campus is accepting its first students. You want to be a wizard?
I do.
Wizard is witch. Anyways, it's off to school for the first alpha testers of Gamigo's browser-based fantasy game, Magic Campus. A select group of players will be the first to have a chance to explore the game in three language versions, English, German, and French, that will be available when it launches.
Ooh la la.
Mm-hmm. There are more than 600 types of monsters waiting to be fought, caught, and trained by the alpha testers. This manga-style characters can move about freely in the detailed and colorful world of Magic Campus.
Oh, no.
Battles are turn-based, which means tactical skills will come in very handy. The game also includes a comprehensive crafting system and a number of community features. Unfortunately, that's about all the information they give us.
Yay!
Find out more information about Magic Campus at their official website, which is, oh my god, that's a long website. So just look them up. Gamigo.com. They do say we can provide game accounts for members. Oh, no, they can't. That's for us, not for you. So we can have accounts, but you can't.
Yeah.
Yes, I am shaking my little tail at you right now. But anyway, so Magic Campus, it's in alpha. I may head over there and check it out. It sounds like it may be something else we've already played.
Oh,
which was that one? Magic something.
The Gathering?
No. With the school, the little kids, little wizards.
Oh, Wizard 101.
Wizard 101. Yeah, it kind of sounds like that maybe.
It could be.
But this is going to be browser-based, so I guess we'll see.
Eh, poo. Well, speaking of ripping off games, THQ and Swapit announced their joint marketing activity for UK launch of a game called Fantastic Pets. Those of you who have a Wii are already familiar with it. It's called Nintendogs and Nintendcats. No, I'm kidding. Actually, Fantastic Pets is the first Kinect title to utilize augmented reality technology. This groundbreaking feature allows users to step inside the game world and onto the TV screen. No, it does not. You only be very careful about what y'all say to little kids. And onto the TV screen where they can play with up to four species of pets, dog, cat, pony, or lizard. In mini games, challenges, and pet training activities, players can also customize their dream pets with everything from skins, colors, patterns, wings, horns, tails, and more. Fantastic Pets is scheduled to launch in the UK. Is it today? It's tomorrow, April 15th. It's tomorrow. We do have some screens that are going up as we speak. They look interesting. I like the Pegasus one with the lightning in the in his feet and backside. But I've got to say,
backside? What?
It's not in it. It's in it. You know this. His what is it? The I don't know what it's called. I'm not a girl. It's not tail. It's the flank. You know, I guess it would be his hip.
Flank?
Is it a flank? I don't know.
Yeah.
So right there, he has lightning. So that looks cool. Okay. He's blue. He's a really pretty cobalt or midnight blue. Pretty, and he's got wings. He looks like Pegasus, the blue version of Pegasus. And there's cool-looking, dragonish-looking one there, too. But I want to know if the lightning actually, you know, moves. That's what I want. I like those little touches. Anyway, they're saying let me back this up a little bit. Swapit is a company that's handling this. They're a UK-based swapping and trading community website where I guess people go, they swap toys, video games, and stuff, which is very interesting. And members earn virtual currency called Swapits. So for every item they trade, which they can use to bid on other stuff that they want, so they're saying every copy of Fantastic Pets will come with free Swapits available in a pack via a unique code printed on an insert. And Swapit, of course, is hosting an online microsite promoting Fantastic Pets and their THQ partnership, which will feature game information, trailers, competitions, and more. Yay! I'm not all that excited about it. I just want the Pegasus horse, and I can probably go make him elsewhere. It's one of those days, like, nah.
I can go make him elsewhere. As long as it's not that stupid celestial horse from WoW.
Oh, no. I want, speaking of celestial, never mind. Go ahead. I'll tell you about it later.
All right. Where did my one go? Hold on. I swear I had one. All right. New Zealand pushing for three strikes, copyright, infringement laws.
Ooh.
I'm pulling this from Game Politics this morning. Looks like they got it from Torrent Freak. New Zealand's government is in a huge rush to push through legislation that will target citizens who share copyrighted material online without rights holders' permission over the internet. Spaces, people, please, when you write these. The Copyright Infringing File Sharing Amendment Bill, which unanimously passed its first reading in Parliament in April 2010, will put in place a three-strikes-style rule, where Internet service providers will be required to send warning letters to alleged infringers at the request of rights holders. New Zealand's Copyright Tribunal, the group that will oversee this new three-strikes rule, will have the power to rule on cases of repeat infringement and will be given the authority to hand down fines up to a maximum of $15,000. That's a lot of dough. We're not familiar with the laws, they go on to say. So while writers not familiar with the laws of New Zealand, there must be some sort of rule about due process and the ability to defend oneself, right? People, seriously. Against false accusations. Accusations. Repeat offenders that break the law in a 6-month period could face an internet disconnection. Green MP Gareth Hughes, who wasn't aware the bill was coming up for vote today, think some aspects of the law may go too far. He says, it really surprised me because we haven't debated it since November. Of course, that does not mean he is opposed to the rest of the bill or what it intends to create. Hughes later confirmed that with Torrent Freak that he would request an amendment to remove the suspension clause, but a spokesperson for Commerce Minister Simon Power said it would be opposed. While the Greens are against disconnections, they do support the bill in principle. The bill is expected to pass its third and final stage during the next few hours. This is according to Torrent Freak. So, ooh, New Zealand, going the way of America, are you? But I like the idea of the three strikes rule. I like that they can't just sue you straight out. You have to go through the whole three strikes.
Oh, that's nice. That's going to be a juicy fight.
Yeah.
Well, the IGDA, the IGDA comes out swinging. They're attacking the Amazon App Store's terms. So the IGDA, or better known as the International Game Developers Association, has posted an open letter on its official blog criticizing the terms for Amazon's new Android App Store and warning developers of the precedent that it sets. And the letter is signed by the IGDA Board of Directors. The letter cites significant concerns about Amazon's current App Store distribution terms and the negative impact they may have had on the gaming development community and will have. Speaking directly to the developers, the IGDA warns that Amazon reserves the right to control the pricing of games as well as the right to pay the greater of 70% of the purchase price over 20% of the list price. Ouch. It says, we're not aware of any other retailer having a formal policy of paying a supplier just 20% of the supplier's minimum list price without the supplier's permission, says the letter. The IGDA is also concerned that Amazon reserves the right to cut the price of any game which is sold on other services. Even a temporary price promotion on another service will result in a lower list price in Amazon's App Store, according to the IGDA's reading of its terms and conditions. The letter also goes on to identify five potentially problematic scenarios. I am not going to share those with you, but you can go over and check them out on the gameindustry.biz website. And they are bad. Ooh, I will tell you one. It says they're being forced to choose between Amazon and other markets over promotions. That's not good. In summary, the IGDA is claiming that under Amazon's current terms, Amazon has little incentive not to use a developer's content as a weapon with which to capture markets from competing app stores. The IGDA has already been in contact with Amazon, but claims that the company has expressed zero willingness to adjust its distribution terms. Nevertheless, the IGDA is insisting that developers' permission should be required before any retailer seeks to pay less than the standard percentage of a developer's minimum list price. It is also argued that developers should have the freedom to set a minimum price list above whatever amount they see fit without regard to pricing in other app stores. So, again, you might want to go and check it out. This is not Lookit. I didn't know they were doing that. I'm not seeing its comments are interesting. People are not liking this at all. Amazon, this is not looking good for you. People are... Oh, thank you, Ginger. I was done, but thank you.
Sorry.
It scared me. I was like, oh, what's wrong? Did Ginger get hit? Are they attacking her?
No, not attacking me, not yet. All right, so I guess it's my turn then?
Yes. Go.
How to make a full-featured iPhone iPad game within 2 days. Ideal bureaucracy knows the answer. Inspired by the success of the Hack Days, the events regularly held in different parts of Russia with the goal of putting developers together and helping them create IT products, prototypes within 2 days, the members of the Ideal Bureaucracy Studio decided to try out the two-day game development approach themselves. The spirit started on a common day in March 2011, and 48 hours later, a prototype of a new casual game called Papa Penguin was made. Then after less than 5 days of bug testing and polishing, a full-featured game designed for both iPhone and iPad was shipped to the App Store for approval. Papa Penguin is a cute, casual arcade game for children and their parents. Your goal is to help devoted Papa Penguin feed his funny little kids by diving in Antarctic deeps. Papa's kids are quite gluttonous, so hardly Papa fetches them some fish, they instantly absorb it and demand more and more. I'm going to kill your name, and I'm sorry, Anton, but Anton Grigoriev, technical director of Ideal Bureaucracy, says, I once happened to see an article on, I'm going to kill this name, Hub Harbor, a major Russian collaborative blog about an event that promised to help create a game within 2 days. They offered to register for participation, find a team for yourself, recall all your unsold ideas, take a retreat for 2 days, and make a game. I liked the idea and thought that it would be interesting to try out inside our team. Although it wasn't easy, I can say that using the Unity 3 development tool by Unity Technologies, we've managed to accomplish a task and created a full-featured game prototype within 2 days. Moreover, it took us less than a week to polish the prototype and get an attractive product that is already available on the App Store. I'm sure that with an effective approach, it is more than possible to deliver not just a prototype, but a small, complete, and full-featured game within 2 days. All right, so what is Papa Penguin? Papa Penguin is a cute casual arcade game for children and their parents. I've already read that. Nice try. Help Papa Penguin after his children. Collect the fish and take it to your little kids. Be smart. It's not an easy task to get the most delicious fish. Don't forget about the oxygen. You have to plan your route, to get all the fish to the surface. Beware of poisonous jellyfish and sharp-toothed sea raptors. Enjoy your Antarctic diving with a beautiful ambient music brought to you by Sleepy Town Manufacturer. Oh, so that looks cute. Ready, GameAndMatrix.com if you want to check it out. But it looks like it'd be a cute little game for you and your kids if you want to check it out. That, again, is called, what was that called again? Papa Penguin.
Okay. I don't know about the Papa Penguin.
Yeah, that's an odd name, but all right.
Why not Mama Penguin? Why not Uncle Penguin?
I know. Dads are bad in the wild. It was always the mama.
That's what I thought.
What do I know about penguins?
This is true.
Do you know they don't fly?
They tap dance.
Oh, they do tap dance. They're so cute.
They're called happy feet.
Aww.
That's just wrong. Okay. So I just got this in from the lovely people at Ballet Games. Innovative Ballet Games and System Solutions have won 4 honors in 2011. The top 20 most innovative product awards. They're saying they're a leader in slots, video machines, casino management, and networked and server-based systems for the global gaming industry. Not really the type of industry you want to be talking about, but they've announced that four of Ballet's products were named among the top 20 most innovative products by an independent panel of industry expert and judges in the yearly competition sponsored by Casino Journal. The winners of the platform, gold and silver awards out of this top 20 list will be revealed at the Gaming Technology Summit May 23rd through the 25th at Green Valley Ranch Resort and Casino in Henderson, Nevada. Summit attendees will also vote for attendee choice awards from 2010, the top most 20 innovative products. Valley's new Code Red slot game and iDeck, touchscreen button deck, service tracking manager, and table view chip recognition all receive recognition for their industry-leading innovation. I was about to say they're excited, but they weren't this time. It said to have multiple products on this list is a true testament to the high caliber of work we're doing for Ballet here at Ballet Technologies. And this is from the President and Chief Operating Officer, Ramesh, and I'm not going to even attempt the last name, I'm sorry, because I don't want to butcher it. He said, clearly the judges appreciate our broad range of leading-edge products and choose to recognize Ballet assets from both our games and system roster of products. So Code Red, of course, looks like a brand new video slot using Ballet's proprietary Alpha 2 game electronics and housed in the new Pro Series Curve cabinet with the industry's first 22-inch curved LCD display, offering players a look and feel of traditional real spinning slot in video cabinet. The game debuted earlier this month at NIGA Indian Gaming 2011 Trade Show and Convention in Phoenix. The iDeck dramatically changes the game, replacing traditional button decks with a multi-touch interface that increases player interaction to unprecedented levels. The trailblazing technology features multiple levels of innovation, including player selectable configuration, game synchronized touch features, and multi-touch skill-based gaming. iDeck is, of course, fully downloadable and ready for server-based environments. Well, I was going to tell you where you can read more of this. So I'm trying to find where they posted it originally, but they have not. I think they just sent this over to us. How nice! If you're interested in Ballet, they have been around since 1932, and of course, they're Las Vegas based. That was a tongue twister. So that's interesting. Not so much as the game, you know, the gambling thing, but I think the technology is interesting. It could translate over to other areas of gaming. Could be interesting. Guess we'll wait and see since they won all these awards. Are you still with me, Ginger May?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that could be interesting. Sorry, I was looking at screenshots for this next one.
Boo. For gambling. I have one. I have a tattoo. Are you offering me another one?
No, but you can play a tattoo parlor game on the iPhone and iPad today.
Why?
Oh, wait, that's right. You don't have an iPhone. You haven't
Are you making fun? Oh, is she taking a dig at me?
Mm-hmm. Kitty Tattoo released today for iPhone and iPad. Pan Vision Group, a leading independent Nordic publisher and distributor of interactive entertainment based in Stockholm, Sweden, are pleased to announce that Kitty's Tattoo, a cartoon-style management game set in a tattoo parlor. I got called a tart yesterday. Set in a tattoo parlor and developed by Prima Studio, has released today for iPhone and iPad, priced at $1.99. Yeah, that's also in francs and pounds, little C symbol. I don't know what that is. $1.79 in your little euro dollar. I don't know what that is. And $2.99 US, $2.99 in a little C sign, and $2.79 again, you little euro dollar, whatever that is. Anyway, So what is it? Kitty's Tattoo Parlor. In Kitty's Tattoo, players will take on the role of Kitty, an up-and-coming tattoo artist and entrepreneur in Milwaukee, looking to make her name with the ultimate goal of establishing herself as a legendary tattoo artist. To progress, the player must tattoo customers as fast and accurately as possible to earn reputation points before time runs out. Performing harder, more complex tattoos provides more reputation points than easier designs. At the same time, players must manage the waiting customers' patience and well-being as they wait for their tattoos. Eventually, amass enough reputation points to open tattoo shops in various cities, making your way to the big leagues and Los Angeles. There is a trailer, and I will try to get it up on the website in a little bit. All right, so what are the features of this game? Over 75 tattoos to perform spread across 5 categories. Earn reputation points by tattooing customers via a multi-step tattooing process. Interact with your customers and explore their personalities as they react to one another. Manage your customers' patience while they wait to be tattooed. Poke annoying customers. Use their power-ups and rearrange their seating in order to restore clients' patience. Show off perfect tattoo notifications on Facebook friends, because, you know, we always see more Facebook spam. Game Center support. Listen to your favorite music in-game by accessing stored music on your iPhone and iPad, and progress through 4 different city locations, Milwaukee, Denver, Phoenix, and Los Angeles. In each city, customers' patience goes down faster, and their tattoo quality expectations are higher.
Okay, and what is the ultimate goal? To have the best tattoo parlor ever? Or?
I guess so.
Yeah, I'm going to need y'all to rethink that game.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not managing the marketing and stuff or something? I need some real simulators. Simulators are dying breed. Sad. I'm very sad by that. It's just one of those days. Anyway, so we got some good stuff. Mortal Kombat. You ever heard of that little game?
No, I don't think I've ever heard about that. Is that where you, like, rip out the spines and heads and...
Mm-hmm. Now, we can't show you the trailer. We are not putting up the trailer because we cannot. We do not have a proper age gate like they would like us to have over at Peggy. Although we would love the publicity, we want to get into trouble. But I can tell you about it. So today, Warner Brothers Interactive and NetherRealm Studios are giving fans an inside look at Mortal Kombat's King of the Hill online mode, which brings the arcade experience of playing Winter Stays On right onto your 21st century living room, now enhanced with your avatars. Isn't that fun? You can check out the full video for details on the social mode. So Mortal Kombat, they're saying, is the most brutal installment of the landmark fighting game to date. It's set to release on the PlayStation 3 computer entertainment system and Xbox 360 video game entertainment system. The game is being developed by NetherRealm Studios, led by Mortal Kombat creator and creative director Ed Boon. Remember that guy? I'm going to see if I can share the link with you before I put it up. We don't want to get in trouble. But it looks pretty good. That's what I could tell you. It looks awesome. King of the Hill, and you get to do all this stuff to people. Oh, man, delicious.
She does love her some King of the Hill.
Yes, yes. That's called cutting right there. So we got ourselves 4 minutes, Miss Ginger May. Would you like to try another? Yeah, we got 4 whole minutes.
Yeah. I think I have one. Have you already read the BioWare? I don't think you have.
Mm-mm.
BioWare DRM server problems corrected. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. Although the horror of not being able to play the single-player versions of BioWare's Dragon Age Origins is now apparently over. The 4 days, gamers were greeted with all kinds of problems every time they fired up a game because of DRM server problems. This is not the way to curry favor among consumers, but it is a good way to get a class action lawsuit, or at the very least, an online petition. The problem, which began over this past weekend, was called an unidentified failure of the game's servers rendered players unable to use their downloaded content.
Ooh, that's not cute.
BioWare explained the problem on its forums over the April 9th, 2011 weekend. Some of our Dragon Age Origins content servers experienced an as yet unidentified failure. I'm going to blame Anonymous. As a result, users began to experience error messages when attempting to access their downloadable content, indicating that the DLC was unauthorized. We apologize for the inconvenience and are currently investigating and working to resolve the issue on our end. Of course, users were not pleased. In fact, it would be fair to say that they were ticked off and agitated beyond belief.
Outraged.
On the plus side, they had it worded differently. On the plus side, BioWare seems to have fixed the problem. The moral of the story is that your DRM solution shouldn't mess with the single-player portion of your game. If you need a reference, simply ask Ubisoft.
Ooh.
Ouch.
That was mean.
That was cold.
That hurt.
Oh, I love it when they do that kind of thing. That is beautiful.
Juicy. Well, yeah, we got 2 minutes, so I will save this next. We'll save this next story from Dan Peterson from Game Industry Biz for you till after the break. We'll be back shortly. I need some music, don't I? I should put the music on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'ma love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'ma love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. 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 Hey ho, hey ho, hey ho.
You eating those dots in that maze. I knew you were no ordinary yellow circle.
Baby, I'm in love with you.
Mean, colorful ghost will try to stop you, but you just keep on eating those dots because you will always be Miss Pac-Man, and that is why I love you. Oh no.
I remember you can find this and other news at our website, GamerAgent.com and GamerBrosRadio.com. If you love us, pay for this. If you don't love us, pay for this.
Get crazy.
Yes, many of them want the music. I keep telling y'all, we have to clear this with the artists, just like, you know, they're still artists, even though it's... what do we call it? Is it nerdcore still? I think the term has changed. It's not nerdcore anymore.
Something like that.
Yeah, so, yeah, we have to get their permission. We can't just give it to you. And probably, yeah, you could find it for free on the internet. And if you want to, feel free. That takes us out of the loop. We don't get in trouble. But but for those of you...
We're not going to encourage you, though.
Yeah, we're not encouraging you. But we will tell you, if you'd like to have it all legal and nice-like, just wait. It's coming. We're waiting for permission. When we do, it'll be all together in a pack, and you can just put it in your car and roll around booming some Miss Pac-Man, I'm in love with you from your speakers. Yes.
Because we love Miss Pac-Man. She's so cute.
I think I'm going to get me a Miss Pac-Man tattoo.
Nice. Very nice.
Right on my arm at the top. You know how the guys usually get mom or they get an anchor? Mm-hmm. I'm going to get Miss Pac-Man right there on my arm.
I were deathly scared of needles. I would go with you.
It doesn't hurt.
No, it's needles, and they're going in my skin.
They don't hurt. I don't like them either, but it didn't hurt. It was aggravating. I wanted to slap the guy, but it didn't actually hurt. It's like somebody poking you in the back.
Every other day for you, right?
Yeah, it's like somebody just poking you in the back and they won't stop, just in one spot over and over and over and over. Because I got a small one. I said I cannot imagine getting, you know, people that get the whole arm done. No, not happening.
No.
I was aggravated. By that time, if it was my whole arm, it would be like, I'm going to cut all of you.
No. It's a needle. It's going in my skin. It's not happening.
She not like.
No.
So we're about to lose us in about 4 seconds here. Remember, you can download and listen to the rest.
Yes, you're going to lose us, but you know where to find us.
I'm trying to wait and see if BT's going to be nice. Yay, they're being nice today. So now. I can share with you something. Yes. Well, a report by tech industry gamer analyst, the company is Gartner, obviously making it a person. He says they say they believe that half of all organizations which manage innovation processes will gamify those processes by 2011. I know you're saying, what is that? Gamification describes the broad trend of employing game mechanics to non-game environments such as innovation, marketing, training, employee performance, health, and social change. This comes from one of the analysts over at Gartner named Brian Burke. The study that they've done concludes that gamification in marketing and customer retention programs will be more important than Facebook by 2014. They're citing programs such as DWP's Idea Street and recruitment tool America's Army as prime examples of the process. And I do love me some America's Army. I almost want to join up when I play. Enterprises, architects, CIOs, and IT planners must be aware of this and lead the business trend of gamification, educate their business counterparts, and collaborate in the evaluation of opportunities within the organization. The key points of gamification were identified in the study, which splits the advantages of the process into four distinct branches of accelerated feedback cycles, which is the clear goals and rules of future of play. Why am I adding the word future in? Compelling narrative and successful challenge and achievement balance, where games traditionally model the real world, organizations must now take the opportunity for their real world to emulate games. Enterprise architects must be ready to contribute to a gamification strategy formula and should try at least one gaming exercise as part of their enterprise context planning efforts this year. I do believe he's right, and it would save some people a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And to make training fun. Who doesn't want to play a game to learn how to do their job?
That is true. And the one thing that really caught my attention there was that you play America's Army.
I actually have a picture of America's Army. They go out every year. I believe they go out every year to E3 to promote, you know, whatever the latest America's Army. And they had a Hummer, and they let me hold an M16. Oh, yes.
Oh, hot.
So I have a picture of me as a soldier in an M16. That's one of the – oh, I loved it.
I haven't played in forever. Now you're going to make me go re-download it.
I have a ton of copies around here, actually, that I lost somewhere in the interim. I was supposed to give them away, and you guys never got them. But they're old, so you probably want a newer version.
Yeah.
But, I love playing America's Army. It's a firing. Mm-hmm. Oh, imagine if America's Army was on the Wii with the remote, or one of these little motion capture games with the shooting. Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes.
They should look at that. America's Army, look at that. Do it.
Yes. Please stop raiding people's apartments for WoW gold and make that instead. I'm okay with that.
Oh, I got some bad news for you Fable people after Ginger Jester's story. Y'all are not going to like this. This is just in, too. Y'all are not going to like it.
All right. Well, this is my story then. Angry Mob Games launches co-op multiplayer shooter game Gorilla Bob for the PC. A fun-filled top-down shooter gets a PC version together with cross-platform multiplayer capabilities. Angry Mob Games today announces that Gorilla Bob, the hit iOS dual-stick shooter game, is now available on the PC on Gamer's Gate and Wild Tangent. The comedic shooter offers stunning visuals, cross-platform multiplayer, an arsenal of kick-ass weaponry, unique enemies, explosive ammunition, and non-stop humor. The PC version of Gorilla Bob takes advantage of the PC graphics power and also features many other gameplay improvements. It has various next-gen visual effects like real-time soft shadows, advanced shaders bloom and glow, motion blur, soft particles, real-time lighting, and other image processing effects. Gorilla Bob's storyline features a very special guest star, John Gore, from Chillingo and Mountain Sheep's hit shooter game, Mini Gore. The storyline begins with Bob and John as childhood best buddies. As they grow up, the two take their separate ways. Bob decides to join the army while John takes up a life of crime. Jealous of Bob's success, John frames his childhood pal, and Bob is kicked out of the army. With nothing left to lose, Gorilla Bob is out to exact revenge on John, the man who destroyed his life. Oh, my God.
Oh, I remember we were talking yesterday about cliches. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gorilla Bob and his weaponry are controlled by players using the standard WASD keys for movement, and the mouse for aiming. Bob must adventure through dangerous canyons, steep deserts, and eerie towns, while lawless enemies regularly attack him. Through intelligent exploration, players can discover new weaponry, power-ups, and super abilities, which are useful during some epic boss encounters. Gorilla Bob features co-op multiplayer using split-screen or local network. Players can join forces to overcome the toughest bosses, balance their equipped weapons, and help each other out when in trouble. Two players can play on the same PC side-by-side or connect their devices via LAN. Using cross-platform multiplayer, players will be able to connect a PC, iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad, Android, or Mac. Gorilla Bob for PC is now available on Gamersgate or Wild Tangent. You can look both of those up. Looks like that's Gamersgate.com or WildTangent.com. There is a trailer, and we'll try to get that up on the website in a little bit. So head over to our website and check that out.
Yes, ma'am. Well, here's what I got. Fable 3, it will be more difficult for you PC gamers out there. And before the rest of you who own consoles start pointing fingers and laughing, let me tell you why Lionhead has done this. They're saying because desktop gamers relish the challenge. In other words, they're saying, you ain't smart enough on console to handle it being harder. Ooh, juicy. This is from our friends at Eurogamers. They're saying that Peter Molyneux, or rather, is this Peter? No, this is Josh Atkins. He says, on Fable, from the beginning, I can remember sitting in the living room with Peter Molyneux and him being very explicit with me that I believe, and he says he believes a direct quote from him was, I want a blind child to be able to win this game with their feet. So PC, actually, Josh is the PC Fable 3 lead designer. He said, clearly that's an ambition and general direction. For us, people should be able to finish the game. Now, we've always kept that as a mainstay, but when the difficulty came up, we were talking about what PC players would want, what would be important to them. So the additional challenge or the choice for additional challenge was something that we thought was important. Figuring out how to do that in a way that was both efficient and fair was challenging, he added. We didn't just move sliders around. We actually sat down and looked at the creature types and looked at them as individuals rather than just say, this one now does 10% more damage. Well, we made them a little faster, which gives them the perception of being a little bit smarter. Other areas that will be altered for the June release of Fable 3 on PC include a redesigned user interface that feels a little more mouse-specific. Gloriously, you can click on objects with a cursor. Atkins and team also eradicated a number of Fable 3 bugs and lowered the item collection requirements for achievements. And those collection elements have a future, according to Atkins. Our hope is that people will pick up Fable 3 on PC, think, okay, this plays how I would expect it to play. It doesn't play like a half-done port, which is the danger for PC games, says Atkins. Not to knock anyone else, but people tend to just rush games out into the PC. They do the very quickest port they can, and they try to do it as a financial model rather than let's make something that at least plays like it was designed for this platform and respects what the platform does. Reflecting on Xbox 360 Fable, Atkins recalls reports from Lionhead PR about a female hairdresser declaring Fable 3 was the only game she plays. Atkins also had a friend email to tell him that Fable 3 was the first game his daughter had ever finished, and she's 9. Awesome.
That is awesome.
Fable 3, of course, is rated 16 by Peggy over in the UK. Does Atkins believe it's right to subject children to hefty moral choices, such as whether a lover or innocent bystander lives or dies? Well, Harry Potter deals with such things, argues Atkins, and as long as the parents are comfortable, then Lionhead likes making the kids think. So they're just a person with shorter arms. Cute. He says they're sitting a little closer to the screen, perhaps, but nonetheless, they're still sitting there and wondering, what's the right thing to do? I think Fable's excellent for that. I didn't think about that. Good for kids to play. Helps them with moral choices. So I may actually have to pick up Fable on the PC since I'm seeing that it'll be a little different, and I normally don't like to play my RPGs, not that type, on PC. I think I've played one since I played Joan of Arc on PC. Interesting. And a lot of people are like, Joan of Arc, there was a game? Yes, and it was excellent. Excellent game.
Never played it. Didn't even know there was one.
Yep, that was an excellent game. One of the few games starring woman, Joan of Arc, obviously. And she has some serious battle armor and a sword. Oh, that's...
Just tell me she was actually covered and not like...
She's covered. She's covered. Awesome. She's wearing armor like the knights wear, fully covered.
That is beautiful. I love it when they do that kind of thing. You know, most of these girls, they take them and they want to make them our hero, all that fun stuff, but they want to show us their boobs and their butt and their hips. And I'm like, That's not armor.
Also, why I like Wet. Also, why I like Wet. If you haven't played Wet, and there's been a big debate with me and a couple of my gamer buddies as to whether or not Wet's a good game, I like that Ruby is realistic. It's stuff that probably Ginger would love. It's kind of got a steampunk kind of dirty thing going with her. It's not fully steampunk, but she dresses in stuff that I'd actually wear if I was a mercenary, that is. I got a jacket, a shirt. It's a little bloody. I got on my jeans, my boots, my guns, you know, my gun belt. That's pretty much all you need. I got a place to keep my sword. That's all you need. I don't need to show anything. I'm not coming to do anything else to you but kill you.
Exactly.
Anyway, so you got 4 minutes. You got time to squeeze one more in?
I do. Gifted gamers can now achieve an official Guinness World Record direct from the app.
Oh.
Guinness World Records today announces the launch of its new Gamers Edition arcade app available on the iPad, iPhone, iPod, and Android from today for 59p, whatever that is, at the iTunes Store.
Pence, I think.
Gamers Edition Arcade is the first ever dedicated gaming app from Guinness World Records and complements the recently released best-selling title Guinness World Records 2011 Gamers Edition. The app features 5 exciting challenges, which give users the opportunity to earn their place in the record books, alongside sample content from the Gamers Edition book. The app's 5 official record challenges are inspired by classic video games and make full use of interactive features including touch, swipe, vibrate, and accelerator. Every game offers the chance to set an official Guinness World Records title, achieve the highest score on Monkey Country, the gorillas have gone crazy. Take out as many primates as you can in 1 minute. Aw, poor monkeys. Mental gears, engage fingers and brain to pick a series of locks, opening as many as possible in 60 seconds. Chest of destruction, it's bomb disposal against the clock. Cut the correct wires before they blow.
Okay, that sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. Hoover's hot air escape. Race your balloon up a treacherous canyon, avoiding the overhanging cliffs. And then you've got rupee roulette. Tilt the treasure chest to swipe the rupees before the clock hits zero. Adventure mode is the ultimate challenge, with Thomas Brader, a famed archaeologist, guiding gamers on a full-on record-breaking romp through all 5 challenges. Oh, that sounds cool. All right. Oh, and all these scores can be shared through Facebook, Game Center, or OpenFaint, and players can compete on global and local leaderboards hosted at GuinnessWorldRecords.com. So that sounds cool. It is a free light version app also launches today, giving gamers the chance to test their skills in one select game, compete for a new Guinness World Records title, and sample content from the Guinness World Records 2011 Gamers Edition. The Gamers Arcade app has been created by Cloud Digital. So that is awesome. I'm going to go download that and get that on my phone, like, right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
It's the most notorious rogue, the Abandonation.
Abandonation. I love you, Abandonation. I have my Pixel Baby.
EG.
Wait a minute. You know what it is, Pixel Baby. I was going to say he's a guy, but you never know.
Oh, girl, I'm going to tell you about a conversation we had the other day.
See you guys later on tonight when it'll be on. And I will be giving away some things today. I promise. If I gotta go to Starbucks, you're getting something today. No, something.
Everything
is skipping and jumping and moving real slow. Looking at my health on the top and it's dropping real low. Spamming every key on my keyboard and face roll. PST and GD, cause I gotta let her know. Are you lagging like that?
I'm lagging like that.
Are you lagging like that?
I'm lagging like that.
Are you lagging like that?
I'm lagging like that.
Are you lagging like that?
I'm lagging like that.
So drop your mouse and log real quick. And hurry back and act like you could ever forget. So are you lagging like that?
I'm lagging like that.
Are you lagging like that?